Our gospel for today comes from the book of Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers, they lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I had a professor in seminary who worked with my classmates and I, and he constantly reminded us, location, location, location. Very similar to what a realtor would say to those who are buying homes. Location matters, and when it comes to a reading like today's reading from Mark, it's very simple for a pastor to use one or two phrases, and there are many sermons that I could preach on this text. But I tend to go back to that advice, location, 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 and look for the bigger picture of what's going on here. And so today I would like to look at the bigger picture of why this gospel is important when we look at the whole gospel of Mark. So I'd like to begin in chapter 8, verses 22 to 26, where we have Jesus healing a blind man. What follows this healing are three different times where Jesus predicts that he will suffer, die, and resurrect. And these predictions, they're in the theological world, they're called passion predictions. They do more than just predict Jesus' upcoming future, though. The passion predictions also teach the disciples who Jesus really is. Their definition of a Messiah is very different than Jesus' plan and God's plan here. But then it also invites the disciples and every single one of them to look at what does it mean to truly be a follower of Jesus. So even though these are called passion predictions, they're doing so much more than just predicting. So we start in chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. First, Jesus heals a blind man. Immediately after this, Jesus has his first passion prediction. He says that he will suffer, he will die, and rise. What follows is that we have the story where Peter rebukes Jesus, and then Jesus says those well-known words, "Get behind me, Satan." In the next chapter, chapter 9, immediately following this, you have the second passion prediction where Jesus tells the disciples, "We're going to Jerusalem because I will suffer and die there." It's there that we're told the disciples are silent because they don't know what to say. And so in that silence, they begin to argue about who among them is the greatest. Jesus then reminds them as he invites a little child into their space, a little child who probably was not welcome to be among them, and said, "When you welcome the least of these, the most vulnerable, this is where you will find greatness." Then in chapter 10, just before our reading for today, we have our third time that Jesus predicts his death, the third passion prediction. And it's here that we get our reading for today of James and John, who begin to corner Jesus and try to get him to place one of them at his left and one at his right when he comes into glory. We then see the disciples getting angry with those two disciples, and then Jesus trying to bring them back to remind them that greatness does not come from being a big leader on top, but rather in service to all. The reason why location is also important is because following this gospel reading, we have Jesus then healing another blind man, Bartimaeus. So location is key. We have Jesus healing a blind man. Prediction number one, Peter puts his foot in his mouth. Prediction number two, all of the disciples put their feet in their mouth. Prediction number three, and James and John put their feet in their mouth. And then another healing of a blind man. Location matters because we have two blind men who gained their sight. And then sandwiched in between it, we have these disciples three times who have ears and they fail to hear, who have eyes and they fail to see who Jesus really is. I feel that the author of Mark's gospel tells the gospel in this way because he knows that Jesus' words, his life and ministry, even his death and resurrection, run very contrary to the way that our natural tendencies tend to think that life should happen. How we think that power and leadership and all of life according to terms of our world should happen. And let's be honest, this story of Jesus, who he was, how he loved, who he loved, his death and resurrection is a story that is still taking time to sink in, which is why we hear it week after week after week. In today's reading alone, with James and John, we have these two disciples that think that greatness come from status and power. James and John are the two sons of Zebedee, and they're actually one of my most favorite call stories from Mark's gospel. When Jesus calls them in Mark's gospel, we're told that they're the sons of Zebedee, but then they're given the nickname that they are the sons of thunder. Sons of Thunder sounds to me like one of those 90s wrestling names from the WWE or WWF. So we have these Thunder brothers who corner Jesus and basically say, we want you to do what we tell you to do. They have their eyes on this prize of gaining this glory, this belt. And Jesus responds to them in this way. Jesus says, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And it's here that they reply with quite possibly some of the most dangerous words that are spoken in the Bible. They say, we are able. The only way that I think this could become more dangerous is if it weren't we are able, but I am able. Without making too many assumptions about James and John, these thunder brothers, the reason why these words are dangerous is because it comes across as if they themselves have it all figured out. They have this life thing handled on their own. And Jesus is calling them out on their blindness and inviting them to see that it's not all about them, but rather that it's about what God is doing through them when we become servants of all and to one another. In many ways, I feel as if I have the same struggles as these two brothers do. And it happens all the time with my overconfidences that I have in my own life. I do it almost daily to say, I am able. I got it figured out. I can fix this situation on my own. I say it all of the time. And the truth is, I'm pretty good at letting God know that I'm in control of certain situations in my life, especially when things are going well for me. We live in a world that is filled with moments of persons and people that think that we are in control of how things will go what we are able to do, what we can produce, and how we can come out on top. There are many times when we say out loud, we are able. I am able to fix this. We can get through this. And just like James and John did here. But maybe we are just as blind as these disciples to who Jesus was and what Jesus was saying to them that day, the original Thunder Brothers, that it's not all about us. Some valuable lessons in good life, good news that I've heard many times actually comes from Bishop Miller, who oftentimes when he preaches says this phrase, "All that I have and all that I am comes from God alone, through Christ alone." If I need to explain my identity in baptism or my understanding of why we do what we do here as the church, I think of that phrase, "All that I have and all that I am comes from God alone, through Christ alone." In the Old Testament, Moses noticed this too. That Moses knew that the people of Israel would think that they were the ones that freed themselves, or that Moses was the one that freed themselves. So Moses constantly said that and reminded them that it was God that brought them out of Egypt and into the promised land. This lesson today from Mark reminds us that the whole point in looking at the chapters 8 through 10 is because this gospel reminds us and the disciples time and time again that it isn't I or we or us that can accomplish these things, but rather through language that we use so often here at the church, that I am able with the help of God. I will with the help of God. We will with the help of God. We use this language actually when we baptize. We use this language when we confirm our teenagers. We use this language when we welcome new members, when we install new teachers, and we even use this language when you installed me as your pastor a few weeks ago, that we will with the help of God, or I will serve with the help of God. All that I have and all that I am comes from God alone, through Christ alone. In this season of stewardship where our Savior is asking you and your families to prayerfully consider what kind of commitment you can make through your time, your talents, and your financial gifts here to OSLC, we are faced with this same predicament that we often have and the disciples had, where it's very easy to say, yes, we will, and sign a card and turn it in. But actually what I like about this season and with this reading falling on today's date is it invites us to go home and prayerfully consider all of God's blessings in our lives and not so much just say we will, but we will with the help of God. I will make this commitment with God's help. And so with this, I was recently asked, why is it that I give on a regular basis, not just to our Saviors, but to the greater church? And so I thought I would share with you just very briefly my story. I grew up in a home where we did go to church every week, and I watched my parents every week have an envelope that I enjoyed as a child putting into the plate, even though I had no part in that. I remember asking my parents, actually, why is it that you give? And the language that they used was very confusing for me as a child, but it's helpful years later now when I process it. The phrase that they used is why we give is because it is not our money, but it is God's blessing, and we are able to bless others because of it. So now when Mandy and I discern and pray about the amounts that we can give to the church or to other non-for-profits, we use that same language. It's not our money that we have earned, that we have put together. Rather, it's God's blessings in our lives, and we want to be able to bless others through that. And I feel it lines up perfectly with this text for today. Dear people of God, Mark's gospel constantly reminds us that we have a God who names us, claims us, loves us, and blesses us with so much, and calls us to live in relationship with one another. We are sometimes blinded by the things that we think matters, just like the disciples were. What we do, what we own, how we do things, how we'll fix things on our own. And Jesus is constantly reminding us that through our actions of love and compassion towards others, by sharing this and our sharing our blessings of love with others, that we will see really what God is really up to and who God really is. That all that we have and all that we are comes from God alone, through Christ alone. We are able to love and share in this awesome ministry together with the help of God. We are able to open our doors to welcome more and more people with the help of God. We are able to reimagine what God is doing here and for the future of the church through us and in us with the help of God. And we are able to be servants of all, offering God's love for all with the help of God. It is a good day to be church. And it's a good day to be able to serve and give and love one another here at Our Savior's and all the ministries that we do here. Because God has loved us and claimed us, and we are able to do so much with the help of God. So thank you for all the ways that you share your gifts and the blessings that God has given you. Thank you, because all that we are and all that we have comes from God alone, through Christ alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.